And I was, you know, strengthened. It helped me to be stronger. So that was, you know, my heroes and my transformers. You know, and I said, heroes, transformers, and tricksters. So now I'm going to talk about the tricksters. First off, there are human beings that will want to trick us. They'll tell us lies, they'll be phonies, you know, they'll be charlatans, you know, and we have to watch out for those tricksters too. But I was thinking mainly of Coyote. My people called him Transformer and Trickster. Coyote had human qualities about him. He loved food. He loved, as a man, he loved women. You know, this trickster, but he also cared about human beings, about Statlium people, my people. He created plants for us to use to help us to live better, helped us get fire, you know, was sent here for us, Coyote. You know, the stories I heard about Coyote and what the work that Coyote done, and also how he'd get in trouble. And he'd literally get destroyed, and his friend Fox would put him back together again, and he would wake up and continue to do good work for the humans until he'd make a mistake again. So in a way, when I hear the stories are teaching me that, yes, we can make mistakes, but we can recover from them. We can heal. And we can remember that we're here for the people and for Mother Earth. Because that's what I'd see Coyote doing. For the people and for Mother Earth. Oh, there's times I'd listen to Coyote stories by the campfire. And we'd be laughing or shaking our heads or be in deep thought when we'd hear about the trickster transformer. Coyote eventually got taken away, broke principle law for our people, and he got taken away. He got scattered, taken apart. I remember they were saying that in the interior, different parts would go to different nations. The Okanagans got to heart. They say that because of that, the Okanagans are very friendly people, the Sealch. And I have enjoyed their hospitality. So I tend to, you know, I can see the sense of that. And each of the nations got a different part of Coyote. So, but also we had the message was that Coyote will come back again when we need Coyote. And I'm thinking that time might be here because of climate change and global warming and COVID. That we need the Coyote again to help the human beings. Because Coyote basically came to help us, to teach us how to live on Mother Earth and to bring us gifts to help us live here in a good way. So I've been thinking, watching what's going on, you know, and I'm being isolated. It's time for Coyote to come back to help us. You know, so we talk with a voice of reason, that we're kind, that we're sincere, we help one another, we respect the gifts that come out of Mother Earth. So our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren will have a good life. So that's my talk about heroes, transformers, and tricksters. We learn from all of them. We probably at times appreciate all of them. But I know I'm forever grateful for the Transformers that were in my life. They helped me to be who I am. And I go to sleep good at night. I feel good about myself. I feel my purpose, and what I'm here for. And I feel it's because of Transformers. And of course, sometimes our children or babies even, like my dad was a Transformer for me. He was always positive. Never hear him gossip about anyone. You know, I brag about my dad. He signed up for the Second World War to defend a way of life for us. You know, and my grandfather was one of my heroes. He was a hunter, extraordinaire. He, we didn't always have rifles when he got one. He had it in his mind the only way he'd kill a deer is by a headshot. And it's the only way he'd kill them. My brother took up that practice. And they're good shots. And I have so much respect for people that think that way. So I'd just like to thank you for listening. And what heroes, transformers, and tricksters. And my prayer is that we all have transformers in our lives that change the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we live. That it be all about friends and relatives and Mother Earth. So I'd just like to thank you again, and I'm going to sign off now. Thank you.
The rest rest of the province of BC does have limited entry hunting regulations, which means that there's usually only so many moose tickets for other game management zones. And once those tickets have been filled by hunters, there are no more moose available to hunters who live in southern BC. So what they all do is they head north to our territory, and quite frankly, it's like a huge migration, you know, often, and I'm only guessing, but it's based on years of observation, that there's probably between 3,000 to 5,000 hunters that come up and essentially take over the prime moose habitat. And they basically are everywhere. They're everywhere you can imagine. There was at least some ability for the moose population to be able to right itself after the annual hunt. Nowadays, it doesn't have that opportunity. Moose do not have opportunity. I have been to the top of Tabletop and was surprised to see like a ton of different hunting camps up on the top of the mountain. You have pressure coming from the top of the mountain and pressure coming from the river banks, rooting out moose to the point where they don't have a chance. There's no chance. Of moose in our territory, and it's very distressing, especially for those of us who grew up eating moose, and we look at moose not as a sport but as a pure sustenance for feeding our families. When I harvest a moose, I feel really sad about taking a moose's life, and I give thanks and I do ceremony and I take everything I can of the moose, because that moose gave its life so that we can survive. We pay it a certain amount of respect and reverence. And it's really difficult to film hunting camps where I've literally seen a moose carcass rot on the ground. We're having a lot of those kinds of issues. There's been a lot of issues where we have witnessed wastage on the land, because often they take the head and the antlers, they take some of the choice cuts, and they leave the rest behind. And we need to start doing something more aggressively to protect the moose population, otherwise they're disappearing. They're gone. Traveling the highway was that you would run into a moose, because if we saw any movement off of the sides of the roads, that we were to tell our parents right away while they were driving, see a moose, see a moose. We don't even do that anymore. Nobody even worries about seeing a moose on the road anymore, because the fact of the matter is they've been hunted to the point where that they no longer come to the roadways. They no longer are in the sloughs that are parallel to the highways. They're no longer in the places where we always knew them to be. They're being overhunted. It's really sad. And it makes me angry. From my grandfathers and from my aunts and my uncles and my cousins, just about everybody I came into contact, in one way or another, moose was king. From a very young age, from the moment I could understand the world around me, moose have been a part of that existence. Those memories are beautiful, of watching your auntie go up and cut a piece of the cheek off Auntie Raina and eating that and going, or my Uncle Hector, you know, and just dancing around with joy, eating the moose head, telling us their memories of eating the moose and how they used to do it. Understanding within Indigenous people that if salmon and moose and caribou and other traditional food sources disappear, then how are we any different from the people that go to the supermarket? It is true that you do reduce culture by removing culturally appropriate and significant food sources. It is true that you do reduce culture by removing that culturally appropriate reduce and culture significant by food sources. Removing culturally appropriate and significant food sources.
My auntie, I told.